Would you pray with me? God, we do stand before you right now, arms high, and our soul surrendered, and everything that goes along with it. Lord, thank you for our country. Thank you for those that have fought and died in uniform. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have even to be here this morning, that have cost lives not only in our country, but in generations of the church before. Lord, this morning, may we answer the call to lay down our lives for future generations. May we hear the God who gave everything calling us to turn everything over to you. Lord, would you put that on our hearts this morning? May we sense that call. May we answer that call, just as every generation that has before us. Lord, may we be a generation that is found faithful. May all who come behind us find us faithful to you. May we have it all surrendered, and in so doing, find everything we have ever truly needed. We ask this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, children. You are dismissed for Children's Church. I'm going to start with a rather fun question this morning. As the kids leave the room, where do babies come from? Good answer. God. No, it's not going to be one of those messages today. It's not one of those, although that is one of my favorite topics. It's not going to be one of those messages today, but let's just say they come from their families, right? These men and women, by the way, I do want to take a moment and honor those who have fallen, because Armed Services Day, which was 2 weeks ago, that is for those who are currently in the military, and we honor them. Veterans Day is for those who hung up their uniform. Today is for those who never got out of their uniform. So if you have had a family member, friend, someone who is dear to you, die in the line of duty, whether that's Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, police, or firemen, even EMT, in uniform, somebody who has put their life at risk for others, and paid the ultimate price. If you have had that in your life, would you please stand? I want to know if there's anyone in our audience, in our congregation. Thank you for your sacrifice. They sacrificed, but we know that it was not just them. Thank you so much. Without the blood of soldiers, of sailors, of pilots, this country would not be here. Without the blood of Christ, this church would not be here. Without the blood of martyrs, Christianity would not be here as well. So where do soldiers come from? We talk about where babies come from. Where do soldiers come from? If babies come from their family, soldiers come from their country. All right, last question. I know you did not come in here to get a pop quiz this morning. Where do pastors come from? Wow. You mean we're not hatched? No, actually, we don't come from seminary. We don't come from college. That's where we get trained. We come from churches. I only stand here today because there were pastors that invested in me. My wife had to bring the sewing kit this morning. I'm going to be bursting buttons, so are the Posnett family. We have the pleasure, an opportunity this morning of a young man who God has led to preach. I know God has put a passion in his heart. He's put a lot on the line even just to do this morning. I'm excited for it. But before he comes up, I just wanted to challenge you. Who are you investing in for the next generation? The church is only ever one generation away from extinction. And I'm not just meaning Grace. I'm meaning the Church of Christ. If we do not invest in the next generation. Think about this. Y'all know this guy named Paul in the Bible, right? You better. He wrote more than half of the New Testament. And do you know how he got his start? He was a persecutor of Christians. He murdered them. Until Christ got a hold of his life, totally changed and revolutionized him. But the church still didn't know if they trusted him until one person decided to invest in him. Barnabas. In Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 27, I just want to read this for you real quick. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. Wonder why? For they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Do you know what the name Barnabas means? Son of encouragement. I think he lived up to his name. Yes, Saul, you had a past, but guess what? You've got a future too. Guys, you got to see what God has done in this person's life. And here's the amazing thing. It didn't just stop with Paul. I guarantee you, some of you are here today because someone invested in you. A Sunday school teacher, a parent, a teacher, a friend, a family member. Who are you investing in? Because it didn't just stop with Paul. Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, his mentoree, the person he had discipled in the faith, he tells him this in 2 Timothy 2:2. He had poured everything that Jesus had and Barnabas had into Timothy. And listen to what he says in 2 Timothy 2:2. He says this: "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." It is an ongoing, intergenerational, interconnected chain of leadership and discipleship. Who are you mentoring? Who are you discipling? Don't let the chain stop with you. This morning, we have the delight of Cole Posnett coming up and sharing what God has put on his heart. Let it challenge you. Let it impact you. And listen, listen carefully to the message God has given him. Believe it or not, I've heard him present what he's going to present to you this morning, and I was challenged. If you're listening, you will be too. Cole, would you share? Is your mic on?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all for coming. I sure do like a crowd. So I'm going to start off with a story. So there was a family with a son, and they were heading to church. So the parents gave their son $2, and they told the son $1 for the Lord and the other one is for yourself. So on the way there, on the way to church, he looked into his pocket, and he only found a dollar. And then he said, "Well, there goes God's dollar. And how much do we do that? We say we want something, and we go and get that thing first. And I think how we should do it is we should say, 'Christ, I want you first, so I'm going to give this money to you first. And then the extra stuff that I have left over, I will give it to you.' I know I myself sometimes mess that up. I love Lionel trains, and all the stuff that I buy, it's crazy expensive. So I want that stuff real bad, and sometimes I forget to give to Christ. But we need to give to Christ because he gave his life. So we should give everything to him." And so in Luke chapter 5, Simon Peter got it right. So if you would turn there with me. Text should be up on screen. So it says, one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So we see here that they got it right. They realized the miraculous catch of fish, and they followed Christ. When we follow Christ, we get the most out of our life because we have someone who can mentor us, and we are serving other people. So my first main point is Jesus is the most valuable. He's the most valuable because he's eternal, and when we follow him, we are looking to eternity. When we don't follow him, we are looking to things on this earth, and they are only temporary. Our time on earth is like a dot compared to eternity. So if we spend all our life on worldly things, then we're just spending it on that little dot. And when we die, the stuff ain't going to come with us. But when we follow Christ, the stuff comes with us. And when we die on this earth, he says, Well done, good and faithful one. And I when that day comes, I will be jumping up and down in heaven. So in Luke 5:11 says, So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So they didn't know what they were getting into. All they did was they left everything and followed Jesus. And they did it right away without hesitation because they said they saw that miraculous catch of fish and they knew a normal person couldn't do that. So that must have been Jesus. And so he came along and showed them that he cared, and that's what he does in our life. If we're having troubles and he wants to help us, he is there right beside us saying, Come follow me and I will give you rest. And we just have to say, Christ, I need help, because he already has his hand out. He's like a loving father, like my father. He has his hands out right there saying, Come to me, and I will give you the best life. And if we give our life to Jesus, we will have the best life. And I know for me, when I give my life to Jesus, it totally changed. I was chasing after Christ, and I'm here doing this, and I'm only 15. So I'm preaching to people that are way older than me. So I'm only 15, and I'm already doing this, and I love doing it. When I do this, I am so happy, and there's nothing at all that makes me more happier than being able to educate people on what Christ has in store for us, because every time I think about Christ, I'm like, how? Because Christ does so much, and every time I think about what he's done, I'm just speechless, because we sin against him every day, and yet he says, Come to me and I will give you rest. And what kind of God will do that? And his grace is shown every second of our life. His grace is even shown by just giving us life. He could easily tell us all right now, Okay, you're judged, you're going to hell, I don't want you. But no, he doesn't. He says, Come, I want you in my palace. And I'm just in awe every time I think of it. And there was a verse in the Bible, I don't know where it is, but it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And when I'm still, when I'm laying down or just sitting down in God's creation, it's like Christ comes right beside me, and I'm just talking to him. And when I'm talking to him, I'm in total awe. And I think why that verse says be still is because we can focus on Christ. Like when we pray, we should find a spot where we're not distracted. Oftentimes we pray and we're distracted, but Christ deserves our full attention. When we are on Christ's full attention, we're never sad because he's right beside us. And we can have a conversation with the Lord even though we can't see him. How amazing is that? So the fishermen were looking for fish. They were trying to catch it all, try and catch fish all night, and they couldn't find it. But they found something so much more better. They found the Savior of the world that could give them eternal life, and fish doesn't give you eternal life. It's just food. But Christ showed his love through the miraculous catch of fish. He shows us love through our experiences and through him blessing stuff. Every time I think about how privileged we are in the U.S. compared to other countries, I'm like, my goodness, Lord, thank you. Because you have, like in Israel, they're having war upon war, and us here, we're not having war, but we're having spiritual war. And me too, I just thank all those fallen soldiers, because they're the ones, and the ones that have served and are serving, they're the ones that are protecting us. And I'm always amazed every time I think of, because they have a heart. They have heart of Christ that tells them, I'm going to go on the front lines no matter what it costs to give my people freedom in my country. And I think every day we should always think about the soldiers, because it's because of them that we can have this church that we're not persecuted. And then we should thank God every single day, because he's also the one that keeps us safe. He plans our life, and when we give it to him, he leads our life. I absolutely love it when I gave my life to Christ, because I'm just like a dog, and Christ has the leash. So I'm just walking where Christ wants me to, and I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow, because I know that Christ has it under control. So, and how you could show that is Jesus' most valuable is if there's someone having a rough time, you talk to them about Christ. I know my friends at school, they nicknamed me Pastor Pawsnet, because every chance that I get, I want to do the Lord's work. Every chance I get to tell someone about Christ, I want to tell them about Christ. There's nothing that I would rather do than preach about Christ, because everything else that you preach about, it's worldly things, and it's not gonna last. So, we should just act on it, like prayer. We purposely take time out of prayer. Has everybody seen War Room? And my goodness, I love that, because the old lady, she takes time out of prayer for Christ, and when she prays, she's so excited. And I think she's the one character that makes the movie good, because she's always excited. So my second one is you gain eternal life. We gain eternal life when we accept Christ. And so with that eternal life comes no disease, no sickness, no sin at all when we go to heaven. And I'm going to love heaven, because heaven, it's going to be like a bunch of stories. Just imagine that we see Jesus face to face and then the 12 disciples. I don't think you can get any better than that. But it would just be stories upon stories. And we would be able to talk about the victory in Christ, how If there is people that are faithful to him no matter what, he's always going to prevail. He will always prevail no matter what the devil does. And one day Christ will defeat the devil, and he will defeat all the sin on this world and make a new one. And that day will be the best day ever. So Luke 5:8 says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. So he said, I'm a sinful man because we all are sinful. We are sinful because Adam and Eve ate the apple and we are born into it. But then Christ says, He says, don't be afraid. And Christ says, don't be afraid a whole lot in the Bible. And Christ is a God who we don't need to be afraid of nothing, because we have a person that can defeat anything on our side. And he's the one who created this earth. And I'm telling you, every time I look out into creation, I'm like, wow, God, I don't know how you did that, but that's absolutely amazing. It's amazing. And so recognizing Jesus' identity and thus inherit holiness made Simon painfully aware of his own sinfulness and caused him to follow Jesus. So, and then Luke 5:10 says, don't be afraid. When Jesus said that to all the fishermen, it was a relief because the fishermen thought that Christ was going to come and he was going to judge him. But no, Christ comes to us and he doesn't come to judge. Just think about that. Christ doesn't come to us, but he chooses to give us grace. Give us grace when we deserve the punishment of hell and reject him every day. But no, he comes to us and he says, come, you be fishermen of men. And that's what Christ said to Simon Peter. So he is saying, I am with you to the end of the age. Christ is with us to the end of the age. He's even with us in eternity. So when we are having a difficult time, we just have to look to the Lord. And I know if I'm having a difficult time, I look to the Lord and I say, Lord, can you help me with this? I can't handle this myself. And when I do that, there is a relief off of me because he just takes it and I don't have to worry about it. And we are told by Christ to cast all our cares upon him. When we cast our cares upon Jesus, we do not have to worry about tomorrow. We do not have to worry about what will happen to us, because we know that Christ, no matter what, he'll keep us safe. And even if we die, we'll have eternal life. Me and my dad, we do Bible study with my grandparents through their church on Zoom. And there's a missionary there that went to China, to the underground church. And she was saying there was a story of a family that they got caught handing out Bibles. And they had to dig a hole for them to get buried in, to suffocate and die. And the whole time there, they were singing their favorite hymn, praising the Lord. Praising the Lord that even though they were going to suffocate and die. And we should be like that also. No matter what, we should be praising the Lord, because we die on this earth, we gain eternal life. So even if someone kills us, we got eternal life. So no matter what a person does to us, we still have hope. That's the amazing thing about the Lord. No matter what a person does to you, you still have hope. You still have hope that Christ is faithful and he will always take care of you. So I'm going to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law," he replied, "how do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord with all your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked, "Jesus, and who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." So we see here that the first step to gain eternal life is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. So first we have to love the Lord. We have to have that love towards the Lord. And then the cause of that love, the effect of that love is we end up helping people. And what I would love to see the most is when we act on that love, we act on Christ's love. And if there's someone that's hurting or anything like that, we help them. I think oftentimes we say we don't have enough to help that person. We don't have enough money or anything, but we do. And like it, you don't need money all the time to help somebody. It can be anything. You can help them, but like if they're homeless, just letting them sleep somewhere. And when we show that love, that is an action, so people see that, and they're like, well, I wonder what that person has. So if every Christian helps someone, I bet you there would be a revival. And that's what I want to be, a revival for the Lord, that people will rise up and praise the Lord, and this country will turn back to Christ. Because what's happening is this country is turning more and more away from Christ, and it doesn't work that way. When you turn more and more away from Christ, it gets more and more worse. But when you turn to Christ, it gets better. You see that with Israel. In the Bible, Israel would always have this pattern that they went away from Christ, and then they went to him. So when they were away from Christ, there was destruction. But when they were with Christ, there was peace. So when we are with Christ, there's peace. And this world, I feel that it is going more and more away from Christ. So we have all these problems. And the only way you can answer these problems is Jesus. I know a non-believer might not believe me, but it's true. I mean, you look at Israel, there's evidence in the Bible that if you look to Christ and ask Christ for help, that the country will have peace. And there will always be conflict, but when you have Christ throughout most of the country or all the country, then people respect each other and people love each other. And when we follow Christ, love is one of the main things, so we show that. So it's like a domino effect. If you love someone, take care of someone, then that person wants to do the same thing, and it goes on and on. And that's the amazing thing about about Christ. When we do one thing, when I'm preaching to you guys or preaching wherever, it has a domino effect, because I'll preach and then one of you guys will preach to that person. So it's like a puzzle piece. Christ has us all to fill a specific part. A puzzle piece, you have different pieces of puzzle. And we all have a piece that needs to be fit in the puzzle. So when we all work together and put all those pieces in the puzzle and combine them, there's a masterpiece. There's a masterpiece of Christ and his glory. And my life mission in life is not to have the best trains or to have any best items in this world. No, it's to further the kingdom of Christ as much as I can, because I want Christ to be in my life. Number one, I don't want anything to go above Christ, because I know what he's done. And this world, if we follow this world, it leads to destruction. But when we follow Christ, it leads to eternity. It leads to helping people. So I think just by seeing when people follow Christ, how it just shows love. So my next main point is, you gain the gift of being fishermen of men. Christ gives us a purpose that promises us evangelism. When we help make disciples, Christ gives us joy. I know when I preach, I have joy upon joy. Right now, I'm having total joy. I figured I'll be a nervous wreck, but I'm not nervous whatsoever. So the central focus of this story, the miraculous catch of fish, is not the miraculous catch of fish. It's how Christ used that miraculous catch of fish to have Simon Peter follow him. And that's how our life is. Christ uses moments, and when we are in our deepest moments, we say, I don't know what to do with my life anymore. Christ, do something with it. And then he uses it, and then our life is like flowers. It grows and it's beautiful. So Luke 9, it says, from now on you will fish for people. From now on you will fish for people. So Christ tells us that when we follow him, we will fish for people. And I think what gets some people scared with that is they think mass people, like mass evangelism. But Christ tells different people to minister to different people. He could tell someone to minister to one person, two people, or a couple. But then he tells people also to preach to a mass number. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to preach to as many people as possible. But for some of you, that might mean just a couple. And that couple makes a huge difference. Because when there's one believer that goes to Christ, I bet you in heaven they have a party. They have like a feast. So one person makes the whole difference also. And I think people often undermine people that like don't go out into the world and preach. But one person is one more person having eternal life. And with that one person, if you're just ministering to one person, you can have like a one-on-one talk, and you can focus on them, focus on that one person. So it makes a difference no matter how many people you end up preaching to. Luke 5:10 says, so in Acts 2:11, turn there. Oh, no, sorry. It's Acts 2:40. So it says, with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So this was Pentecost, and this is when one of the 12 disciples brings people to Pentecost to accept the Lord, and I don't know what disciple this was, but he got 3,000 people added to eternal life. And that's 3,000 more souls. And every time I think of someone going to heaven and accepting the Lord and you see their life change, it overjoys me. I absolutely love seeing that. So I want to do that as much as possible. And so that 3,000 number, that could be 1, that could be 3, or that could be like 10 for any of you. So it can be any amount of people that you feel that Christ is leading you towards. I definitely feel that Christ is leading me towards a mass number, and I want to go wherever Christ tells me to go, because I don't want to do my own will. I don't want it to be my way. I want it to be Christ's way. Because if it's my way, it's not Christ's way. And I'm a human, so it can't be my way. It has to be Christ's. So my last main point is your priorities will become better ones. When we accept Christ into our lives, we have the priorities that of Christ that tells us to love our neighbors, love the people that you are surrounded with. And I know that Christ purposely puts specific people in our lives to minister to. And so I absolutely love and minister to people no matter how much people they are. And even ministering with one person, it's absolutely amazing, because you can have like a one-on-one conversation and you can talk about ideas back and forth. And I know in the bus, I have this kid that always asks me questions, and I love to answer him, because then that is helping him try to understand about Christ. So Luke 5:10 says, you will be fishermen of men. We will be fishermen of men. So that is one of the priorities that comes from Christ. First one is love. Christ talks about love a whole lot, and I think love is one of the most powerful things you can show, because it's an action, and it's putting someone else's life before your life. And Christ, he talks about love a lot. You see throughout his whole life, he didn't focus on himself. He focused on teaching people. When he went to the woman that was going to get stoned for committing adultery, he said, go and sin no more. You are forgiven. So he forgives us and focuses on our life. And throughout the whole course of his life, He was always walking somewhere and always teaching someone about him. And when we teach people about Christ, we get that joy. And when I teach someone about Christ, I feel Christ, they're saying, well done, my good and faithful one. And we want to do things for Christ because we love him. We don't want to do it out of obligation, because if we do it out of obligation, it's not love. So we have to do it because we want to, and if we really think about what Christ did for us, dying on that cross for us so that we could have eternal life, why would we not want to share that? When we have earthly priorities, If we find a favorite restaurant, we go and tell someone about that restaurant. They need to go there and get that food. And I think sometimes we get stuck in the worldly views. We end up telling a whole bunch of people about what this world has to offer. But Christ has so much more to offer. Christ is worth leaving everything behind because you gain so much more. Christ is worth leaving behind because when you leave everything behind for Christ, you get the gift of loving people, telling people about him, and you are part of the puzzle that Christ has in store for all of us. And I know I love to be that one piece in that puzzle. And I pray that we would all rise up and just teach people about Christ. I know at school, I'm trying to start so much. I absolutely love trying to start stuff for my friends because then I am improving their life. And I do Bible study every Tuesday morning in Mrs. Meyer's room from 8 to 9 or 8:40, and so I absolutely love doing that. And I played War Room, and there was new people that came. New people came because they saw how War Room, through prayer, totally changed people's lives. And whoever creates those movies, my goodness, they are good at it, and they sure have a gift from the Lord. Because those movies, every time I watch them, I see Christ right in that movie, working right through it. And that old lady, I absolutely love her because she is always happy to tell someone about the Lord. She is always excited. I know when she goes into her war room, the end of it, she is praying. She is praying out loud, praying excitedly for an army to rise up for the Lord. And the question is, will you be that army? Will we be that army, this generation, that rises up and tells people about Christ and relays the message to anybody possible? I know I want to be part of that 100%. I want to be in there and in God's puzzle, and I don't want to be part of this world, because if I'm part of this world, then I'm not with God. And I want to be with God all of my life and doing his work to help other people. And I absolutely help. I love helping other people, because when I help other people, I get to see them smile, and then it helps me also, because it makes me smile. So it's just amazing. So if you would turn to Mark 10:30. It says that Christ will multiply what you have, and Christ will multiply what we have if we follow him. You see in Job at the end, he still loved Christ, even though Christ let the devil take everything away from him. He still praised the Lord, and he got his livestock and everything 100 times the amount, or 10 times the amount. So when we follow Christ, we get an abundance, so we end up giving it out. And I get so much in abundance from just preaching that I want to give it out as much as possible, because I don't want to hog it all for myself, because I know the gift and the joy that it gives you. So why would I want to hog it for myself? So Jesus is worth leaving everything behind for, because he is the ultimate judge. So if you follow him, then you will not go to hell. And I love that quote. It's a popular quote, and it says, "I would rather be judged by the world and stand with Christ rather than be judged by Christ and stand with the world." Because if we stand with the world and be judged by Christ, We're done. The world is ruled by the devil, and the devil is not going to win against the Lord because he has the ultimate victory in the end. And no one can defeat the Lord. And I think if oftentimes we end up trying to fight a battle without the Lord, and the old lady in war room, she says something to the wife. You have enough time to fight with your husband, but you don't have enough time to pray. And so when we fight a battle, when we're fighting the spiritual battle of this world against darkness and light, we need to fight it with Christ. We can't fight it on our own because we're going to lose then. We need to fight with Christ and have Christ help us, because if we fight with Christ, that darkness ain't winning. The devil ain't winning. He's done. You gain eternal life. You gain that perfect eternal life from Christ that he promises us if we answer the call and love him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. So, and our priorities will become better ones. They will go from worldly priorities that will only last this life that it has in store for us, And it will fade away like dust. And so, but when the priorities go to Christ, the priorities, they never go away, because we die from this earth. And Christ says, "Well done, my good and faithful one." Just think about that. We're sinners, but yet he chooses to use us. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be used by the Lord, but he's using me right now, preaching to people that are way older than me. And I'm only 15. So it's just such a joy to put priorities on Christ. The joy is overflowing. It is absolutely overflowing. And he will multiply what we have if we follow him. And when we accept him by faith, because we cannot see him, but we know that he is there. Through the joy that we have, and through his creation. I mean, every time I look at creation, I see Christ. I do not, like, the world is so specific. The earth is so specific that if it's 1% off, the world's a nightmare. So I do not see whatsoever how Christ is not a part of that, how God's part of that. God created this earth just for us, just for us. Originally, it was a perfect world, but Adam and Eve messed that up, and we messed that up. But when we act on God and ask him to help us, we don't mess it up. We make it better, and then we have that eternal life in store for us. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you liked it.
Jesus says to all, "If anyone would come after me, follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Today, may we decide to follow Jesus and nothing less than that. As you go, may you go in peace. Would you pray with me? God, we lay it all before you. I pray that you would break down anything that we are clinging to or holding on to that is less than you, which is anything else. God, may we see you as supremely valuable. And in so doing, find the true purpose and meaning of our life. Don't let us live for lesser treasures than that. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.